We'll be turning to the book of John, chapter 10, John chapter 10. Our series this summer has been on the subject of being able to share the gospel with the lost. What verses of scripture are you able to share? You want to have a lot of tools in your toolbox. And my goal today is to look at this chapter and find things that are useful in reaching out to the lost people and sharing the word of God to those who are around us. Certainly, John 10 is one of the great passages. It's the Good Shepherd passage, which reminds us of Psalm 23. It kind of is related to Psalm 23, where you have the Lord is my shepherd. That is a tremendous passage, too, to use to witness to people because of the personal nature of having a personal Savior. So Psalm 23 is that and is valuable for us. The passage really is tied back to Ezekiel 34. And in Ezekiel 34, God's talking about how the shepherds of Israel have let them down. He is instead their shepherd and is sending his shepherd, and Jesus Christ is that shepherd. And so the Lord is standing up in John 10 and sharing the truth of this allegory, this story, this illustration of who he is identifying himself with that Ezekiel chapter 34 passage. And he's saying, I am the shepherd, the good shepherd. He's the shepherd who does good things, as opposed to those shepherds that do bad things. There are evil shepherds out there, and there are people who are always looking for a shepherd. In college, I remember there were people who always looked for a shepherd. They looked for the greatest professor. And so he became kind of a little shepherd of those sheep. And everybody kind of followed along and tried to pretend. Pastors are not immune. There are young men today who are trying to imitate people like John Piper or some of these other well-known preachers. And so you end up looking at them and they do the hand mannerisms of John. You know, they're going to be like that preacher who's so good, or they're going to do other things that are like them. I had a friend in college, you know, for us, we didn't have John Piper, but we had Charles Haddon Spurgeon they would talk about. And so or Ernest Pickering. And I think he went to so far as to memorize messages of Spurgeon or memorize messages of Pickering. And then he pretended like he was him as he preached. I'm not sure if anybody was able to figure out that he wasn't exactly the shepherd that he was pretending to be, because he was a unique individual. Everybody is. We have one shepherd. We have one shepherd who is Jesus Christ. I think as we get closer to election, there's always going to be people who are looking for a shepherd, a savior of some kind. The reality is for spiritual needs, we have got to have the spiritual shepherd, the shepherd of our soul, who is Jesus Christ. And so John 10 is one of these great passages. You have to underline a number of verses in this chapter, especially if you're going to be the kind of person who takes your Bible out to share with an unsaved person and says, here's a passage. The last three verses of the chapter are ones that you should be underlining, 27 and on. Underline those verses so it's easy for an unsaved person to look at this and say, wow, that's eternal security there. There are other passages. I am the door. You might want to underline that passage as we go through it today, because these are good tools to use to witness to a lost person. We're going to be looking today at verses 1 through 16 and then the end of the chapter. Verses 1 through 16, we find the practice of the false shepherds in the first two verses, 1 through 5, I'm sorry, verses 1 through 5, the practice of the false shepherds and the proof of the good shepherds, the true shepherd, verses 1 through 5. We'll also find that there is a provision from the true shepherd and the purpose of the true shepherd in verses 6 through 10. Then 11 through 16, the good shepherd, and what does he do? How does he care? So we're looking at the practice of false shepherds and the proof of good, true shepherds, 1 through 5, the provision of the true shepherd and his purpose, verses 6 through 10, and then finally, the good shepherd and how he cares and provides and leads his sheep in verses 11 through 16. At the end, we'll grab those last several verses because they are an encouragement to our heart as we look to the Lord as our shepherd of our soul. So I'm trusting that as we go through this passage, it'll lift your heart, lift your spirits, encourage you, and you'll learn this passage. May it speak to your heart today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word, and thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've given to us to comfort us, to encourage us, to enliven us, to enlighten us, illumine the word of God, to convict us. So Lord, I pray that you empower us as well to obey and follow the word of God as we lead and study it, as it's led to us today and studied in the word, is what Jesus says as he teaches us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, verses 1 through 16 are our focus. Let's look at verses 1 through 5 as we look to our first essential point today. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, or as the Greek says, from some other way, in other words, from another source, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Sheep are interesting. I went back to say, when did I preach this passage the last time? I remember we preached through John, but I couldn't remember when. It was in 2008, 10 years ago. What? Where is the time gone? So you may hopefully have a few notes in your Bible from that time. This was the card I used, so if you see the orange come out, you say, well, I've heard that before. If you don't see the orange come out, then you know this is perhaps not something I preached before. Anyway, I try not to preach the same message and just give you dry stuff. But I'll tell you what, 10 years is too long, is all I can say. The passage of Scripture is marvelous because it gives to us such insight into sheep. And one of the things as a witnesser, as a testifier of Jesus Christ, you're going to help people understand what a sheep is, how do sheep behave, because we're so far away from sheep and knowing what sheep are about a lot of the lesson will be lost to an unsaved person in understanding what a shepherd's role is. Sheep are unique and odd and different. They're difficult. They struggle with things. Sheep are curious creatures, and they also have a very nervous nature. When you read Psalm 23, makes me to lie down by still waters, restores my soul, puts me into these green pasture places. That is all very unique to the nature of a sheep. A sheep, when he is hungry, doesn't lie down. He's always on his feet, always searching around. A sheep has no teeth to defend himself. He's nervous and jittery. There is an old expression some used to say when I was younger. They said, well, I used to be nervous and jerky, but I'm not nervous anymore. You know, sheep, in reality, are a mix of things, and they're a mess. Did you read not long ago about this new tick that has come from Asia into the United States and seems to have gotten a foothold here? It's apparently very voracious and it multiplies very quickly. It doesn't need to have male, female in order to be able to have viable eggs. And the first critter that it's been discovered on recently was a sheep in Hunterdon County, New Jersey. And so the people who went out to check out the field and check out these sheep were covered in ticks because they're working their way to Virginia. Another thing to worry about, I guess. But isn't it interesting? It was a sheep that was first noticed with this, and he was a mess. Can you imagine being a nervous and jittery thing, and you are always hungry, it would never rest. It obviously was going to be something that there was a problem with it, and that's how they discovered this new Asian tick, longhorn tick, I think it's called, because obviously this sheep was in distress. Well, they don't lie down and rest unless four things are true. One, they're free of all fear. In other words, there's no wolf out there in the woods waiting to swallow them up. They are at peace with other sheep. Isn't that interesting? You know, if you're having trouble, they're just not going to be settled. And if it's just one, the rest of them are all going to react. They are free from pests and insects. That's the one with the tick that made me think of that. And then finally, they are well supplied with food. Fill them up and they'll sleep, they'll rest. But they won't drink from a running stream. They've got to be brought to still water. They don't know where to find their food. They've got to be shepherded. And so the reason the Lord picks this is because he's describing something that was known by so many in their day. And he begins, first of all, with a sheepfold, perhaps in a city, something like that, where you have a gatekeeper. And so the shepherds would bring their sheep. It would put them into the sheepfold, maybe several flocks. And in they go, and so the shepherd can go and have his own rest, and then when he's coming back to take his sheep out the next morning, He will call them by name. And so he says, first, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold to the sheepfold by the door, or comes up or climbs up from some other direction, is not the shepherd. The shepherd will always come to the door. He'll always come to the front. The one who's the real good shepherd, he will be obviously placed in front of you. He's not going to come another way. It'll be through the door. And so he's reminding pastors that our role is to be coming through the door, him, in order to serve as an under-shepherd of the Lord. But it's not just that. Be aware that those that you would likely turn to for a shepherd of your soul or shepherd of your life, make sure they know the Lord. They'll enter by the door. It'll be through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the key. But they will not, if they're not worthy, they try to climb up from some other direction. They'll come up in the middle of the night. They'll come somehow from a different direction over the wall. They don't belong there. They're not yours. It ought to cause some unsettledness. And so he says, the same is a thief, that's by craft, or a robber, one who is grasping. He's either a thief or a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. This is the character being displayed. The shepherd of the sheep will enter by the door. And so as the Lord comes, there's going to be a direct line in as to what he is doing. He never, by subterfuge, claimed to be one thing or another. He was always the same in what he claims. He is the Son of God. And there it is. That's the fact. Take it or leave it. That's who he is. He's Jesus Christ. He is the shepherd of the sheep. There is no other shepherd that is worthy to follow. There will be many that will claim to be like him, but they are not. So he says to him, the doorkeeper, this is the hireling, the one who stands. And as the Lord is talking in John, we think in terms of John the Baptist, the doorkeeper opens the door, so to speak, gives him ministry, gives him an opportunity of sharing. And so the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. They hear the shepherd's voice. He calls his own, its personal address, by name, and leads them out. He can go into the crowd. The ones who are truly the Lord's hear the voice of the Lord and follow him. Because they know that's the shepherd. Sheep are very uncanny in that nature. They are ones that follow the voice, and by name the shepherd knows them. There's that intimate relationship, and those sheep are stubborn, and sheep are not smart, and sheep are nervous and jittery. There's one thing they know for sure. They know who their God is. In other words, they know who their shepherd is. They know who knows them by name, and they'll follow him. An unknown shepherd can call their name, and they will not respond. And so certainly the hireling standing by the door is not the one who can gather them either. It's the unique shepherd who does that work. Character is shown by approach. That's one lesson you can write down. Verse 1, character is shown by the approach to the sheep. Those who do not own come at all kinds of times. The wrong shepherds show up unannounced. They kind of take you by surprise. But the shepherd, the true shepherd, is the one who comes and has the right to come in. He beckons to his sheep by call, by speaking. He knows them intimately, and he leads them. That's Jesus Christ. That's who he is. And so we learn those lessons in verses 1 through 3. To him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. There is no better picture of what Jesus Christ is going to do even at the end of our life, calling us forth from the grave, calling us to meet the Lord in the air, be called by name. What a great testimony that God knows our name. Our Savior knows our name. He knows for whom he died. And I hope that encourages your heart. Sometimes we think in terms of the Savior as being one who simply has purchased us lock, stock, and barrel and kind of took care of things in a big wholesale way. But that's not what the Lord is presenting about himself. He calls us by name. That ought to send some chills up and down your spine, believer, because he knows you. And when you think that he doesn't even know that you're all around, or he doesn't even care, or he's been silent for a period of time, or the answers to prayer aren't coming fast enough, believers, understand that he knows your name. He knows you intimately. And he will never let you go. That is the reason why the last verses of this chapter just jump out at you. If you turn there real quickly, the verses 27 through 30, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. There's this sense of certainty in verse 27. And if you want to, mark that down next to this verse. As you share this passage about eternal security, there is certainty. Jesus didn't die just to provide a hope-so salvation. He died to provide a no-so salvation. There's certainty. My sheep, these are mine. I know who they are. They're mine. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. You have the sheep, the shepherd knowing the sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd. That's the beauty of the Christian life. So certainty is verse 27. Verse 28, we find security. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. We'll see this word snatch as we get to it back in verse 12. A hireling. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, and flees, and the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. That's the word snatch, the enemy. Here in verse 28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Security. Sheep need to have security. Verse 29. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. There's sovereignty, certainty, security, sovereignty in verse 29. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. You are his possession. He's greater than all. He is able. He owns the power of the universe. He is bigger than the universe. He is God. And he is greater than all, and no one is able even to think about it, to catch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There is unity in that section. God is seamless in his treatment of his own. He will not let you go. So the Lord is my shepherd. This shepherd is the true shepherd. The proof of that true shepherd is what we read in verses 3 through 5. As we look at this text, we see that the true sheep only follow their familiar leader in verse 5. They will follow no other. If you're truly God's, you'll follow him. There are some people who, as they hear the gospel for the first time, are saying, well, I've failed so many times before. How do I know this will work? If God really saves you, you will follow him. That's one of the signs of being a child of God. You will follow him. Nothing will ever take place of his role in your life, because he is your sovereign master and shepherd and leader of your life. So he says, yet they will follow, will by no means, in no way follow a stranger, one who does not belong to them, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Believers get used to the voice of God in leading. Not an audible voice. We're not talking about that here today. God can do what he wants, but that's not where we follow on a day-by-day basis. We follow his word. We follow what he's given to us. We test the spirits, so to speak, according to the word of God. And what is he leading you to do? What does he lead you to do through his word as you walk in loving, humble submission to him? So we find the practice of false shepherds, the proof of the true shepherds. Now we're going to look at the provision of the true shepherd in verse 10, 6 through 10, and especially the purpose of the shepherd in verse 10. Verse 6 says, Jesus used this illustration. He gives this allegory. But they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. And Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door. Now he moves from the sheepfold in the city to going out into the fields, like shepherds watch their flocks in the field by night. What's that like? Well, they'd build a little bit of a fence of some sort, or maybe have some in the fields near their feeding grounds, and they have the sheep out there in the evening or in through the night. Then the shepherd would have a gateway that he would have created so the sheep can go in and out. We're not asking them to jump over the fence. They could walk in and out, and they could have him as their guardian of that gateway at nighttime. And so he becomes literally their gateway. They walk through that gate in order to get into the sheepfold. They walk back out of the gate in order to be able to find food and have the necessaries that they must have to survive and to be happy sheep. And it's always through the gateway where the Savior sits, where the shepherd sits. And so that would be the picture from moving from the city out into the country where they're going to feed and be taken care of, and the shepherd's with them all night long. There he is. He's the gate. He keeps the enemy out. keeps you safe and protected, gives you security, gives you satisfaction and supply. He becomes everything for the sheep because they're not too good at finding what they need. And so he says, I am the door. There's the emphasis, I am, I alone, no one else. I'm the door for the sheep. All who have ever came, all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You need to take time to explain to an unsaved person what that going in and out is all about. It was the idea of coming in at night and going out during the day. It would be similar to saying, well, you know what? What we get to do today is we're going to go here to go to the grocery store. We're going to go here and accomplish this errand. We're going to go have this time together, a dinner out, something like that. We're going to come home. It's going in and out in a place or a time of security. The thing that stops you from going in and out is when there's a storm, when there's an enemy at the gates, when there is the enemy out in the streets. You're going to stop going in and out. There's no security. So what this is picturing is Jesus Christ provides security for you. I was talking to a lady this week about society and circumstances, and she said, you know, now you just can't get out into the, you just can't go for a run if you want to. Why is that? Well, because there's danger everywhere you go. She can't go in and out is the term that you find here in John 10 because of fear, of danger. There's no security. Well, sheep doesn't do too well without security. And in Christ, we have security. We have security in him. There's an author who put together a little article on this subject, and I wanted to share with you a few thoughts on the true shepherd in his security. Once a person is saved from the penalty of sin, he needs to be kept saved. Jesus spoke of this security by saying, and shall go in and out. These words constitute an old Hebrew expression referring to security, safety, and freedom. When a man was free to go in and out, it was the Jewish way of describing a life that was safe and secure. The psalmist expressed this kind of security for Israel when he said, the Lord shall preserve thy going in and out, thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore, Psalm 121. Some Christians don't realize how secure they are in Christ. They constantly live their lives in fear because they think it is possible for sin and Satan to overcome them and cause them to lose their salvation. They don't understand that the shepherd has provided safety for all his sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. A true sheep never has to worry about the enemy overcoming him to the point of losing his salvation. He is completely secure in the omnipotent hands of both Christ and the Father. We have the freedom of going in and out through the shepherd of the sheep. He is life for the sheep, isn't he? He is the only way. He is the direction. And so our Lord says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved and will go in and out and find pasture, security, filling the belly with food, making the sheep happy. He can rest secure. And we find that all through the scriptures. When the Lord purchases the soul, you're resting secure in him. The whole idea of faith is to roll your cares upon him, to roll your care over upon him, and he carries them as his own care so that you can take up the cares of Christ in your world. The great shepherd. The chief shepherd here, the good shepherd. He does good things for your soul. This is important to see. It's a great tool in your toolbox for witnessing to the lost, but it's also a great encouragement to your heart. Look at verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Compare that to be saved, go in and out, and find pasture. Saved through Christ. Secure in Christ. Supplied by Christ. What does the enemy do? What does the false shepherd try to do? They try to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. you know, that they may be given and are given life. It's a present tense. It's the idea of the fact that you not just receive salvation at some nebulous time in the future, or just when you're saved, there's that special love of the fact that you know Christ, and so now you're saved. But he says, I'm giving to you eternal life. It's yours. And it's a consistent gift that continues to give in your life. And he says, to have it more abundantly is to have it in abundance. That's what we found way back in the book of Matthew as we read the Beatitudes. There's this abundance in Christ. As your life becomes more like his and more in tune with his, there's an abundance in spiritual things that God gives. And so the purpose of the true shepherd, I am come, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. An unsaved heart's not going to be able to conceive well of it, but they're going to see the security. They'll understand what the lack of security is in their life, but they might see the security you live in. They'll recognize in their hearing that they need to be saved, and so you're talking about that saving through the door of Jesus Christ. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and life. John 14, another good passage of Scripture. And also the idea of supply. In their life, they're struggling, and they don't know Christ, and they're always looking for another provision, and there's no abundance in their life, but they see you as a representative of Jesus Christ, and the shepherd has carried you through the trials and circumstances, and you have Christ as your anchor, you have Christ as your security, and you have Christ as your supply. And so you're saying, look, I'm showing you what life looks like. I'm offering you the way through salvation, through trusting Jesus Christ and his shed blood upon the cross of Calvary. And therefore, you can have this too through Christ. They might have the merest clue that you have something they don't have. But when they're born again and they receive that security, that life, that abundance in Christ, their joy knows no bounds, just as you did when you first trusted Christ as Savior. The purpose of his coming, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That's who Jesus Christ is. And that is a great salvation verse to share as well with a lost person. When we move into verses 11 through 16 and the time that remains here for us, I want to encourage you to see here that there is the work of this good shepherd in his care for the sheep as he describes it. He's saving, he's feeding, he's giving life, he's providing protection, he provides for them everything. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life in behalf of, in the stead of the sheep. That's our word we use so often in communion. For is the translation of in the behalf of. And so it helps you make that perspective of Jesus Christ took my place. It's a great thing to share with a lost person. He says, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming. The word see here is the word theoreo. We get the word theory. He's theorizing the enemy's out there, and he runs from the theory of it, from the thought, from the sight of the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, flees, and the wolf snatches or catches up the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling, does not care about the sheep. And you know, that might be what God is using to give a person a softening to hear the gospel. It might be that they had someone was their hero or something was their answer or something was their savior. And it turns out that it wasn't a savior after all. It was a hireling. It was something they were trusting in or depending upon, or they were fooled. And so they find that their life is a wreck. And God often does that. He brings us to the end of the rope before he saves us. He brings us down into the pit where there's nowhere to look but up. And so our chapter is one of saying, look at what shepherds you've had in your life. Look at the destruction they have left in your life and in their wake as they've run away to protect themselves. And look to the only shepherd, the only answer there is. I am the door. So the passage is one of these passages that's phenomenal when somebody is in distress, when someone needs security, because the last several verses are full of that security. Take this passage of Scripture and use it the way God has designed it in light of others letting you down, in light of the theories that have destroyed your life, in light of the wreckage where you find yourself today. There's only one way and one way to look. And who is this one? What has he done for us? Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. Well, he's repeated it again. Knows them by nature, knows their name, knows everything about you. I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Self-sacrifice. Jesus cared enough to give his life for us. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. What a fascinating statement is here. You see, the only dispensation, there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile, is the church age. And the Lord's looking to that, that salvation that God will provide. And so here we are recognizing that God's not a respecter of persons, but there is this role that he has to reach out to every life, every single one. I lay down my life for my sheep, and other sheep I have not of this fold. Doesn't that open up the opportunity for some unsaved person to say, well, I'm not as good as a Christian that I see around me, but maybe I can possibly be one of this other sheep in the fold, not of that fold. God knows what he's doing with the word. And them also I must bring, I must lead, he says, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. Look at verse 17. Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. What an incredible passage. This is talking about the godliness, the God being of Jesus Christ. Power to lay down his life. He died like no one else. And also rose from the grave. He had power to take it up again. This is the all-powerful Savior, the shepherd that you and I have, because we know Christ as Savior. Do not ever discount the power of God. He is a powerful shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh, how that chastens our soul when we question him. How that reminds us that we need to always constantly follow his leading, his voice. How that reminds us that we need to introduce to others this great shepherd of the sheep, the great shepherd of our souls. We find in this passage of Scripture so many powerful lessons, and hopefully lessons for your day today. I encourage you to, once again, look at verse 27 to 30, because that really does encapsulate all of what he's saying here for you and me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I am giving to them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I want you to know this passage well, and maybe meditate upon it today. Find lessons in there that are good for your soul today. Have you lost sight of your shepherd? Has he gone over the hill out of eyesight, and you need to hurry up and quick up and get up there and get with him again like all the rest of the sheep? Have you looked to other shepherds? Have you followed other voices and said, no, this isn't quite right? If you're not saved today, you've been following all kinds of voices, but there's one voice you need to follow, the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow him. Trust him. He's the one who's laid down his life for you, and he's the one who's taken his life up again, has that power. And so he will call you forth, knowing you by name. What a precious passage. I encourage you to worship the Lord in the quietness of the next few moments and worship him, and then I will close with a word of prayer in a moment. Father, I thank you that we have this day provided for us to rejoice in you. Your Son is the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd is the one that lays down his life for the flock. Father, Jesus Christ is our Savior, and he came to give us life, and that life more abundantly. May this passage of John 10 captivate our hearts today. Father, may we discern between the shepherds that are out there claiming to be shepherds, but in reality are simply hirelings who will leave us to destruction. May we discern the one true voice of the Savior, the only Savior possible for the world. And as the Scripture said, especially of those who believe. May we know the Lord Jesus Christ with a certainty, with a security in the sovereignty of God. May we rejoice, Father, in your provision day by day. May we rejoice that your provision is just what we need for today. And Father, may we rejoice in the door for the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's one who's here without Jesus Christ, not knowing you as Savior, and you are not their shepherd, I pray that their heart would be convicted because of their sin, that they would bow today in the next few moments and ask you by prayer to forgive them of their sins and to see you as the only shepherd, the only answer to their soul's need. And may they learn as they trust in you the truth of Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Father, I pray for your loving kindness to be ours today, and may we rejoice in these eternal, lasting truths that we've shared together today. In Jesus' name, amen.